thank you for tuning in to the radio ministry of Clearview Church. At Clearview, our focus is making Christ visible and providing an atmosphere of worship and community. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abadan Shah.
People use the word miracles all the time. If their ball team stinks, they'll say, well, we need a miracle. If they're caught in a traffic jam and they can't seem to get to their meeting on time, they'll say, it's going to take a miracle to get out of here. Companies use the word miracles all the time to sell their products. So it's everything from Miracle Whip to Miracle Grow to Miracle Pill. And I've talked to people who've taken those pills, and they tell me that the only thing you really lose is a lot of money. That's the only miracle, is you had money in your wallet and you don't now. As a pastor, I've had couples come to me and they'll say, it's going to take a miracle for us to work. It doesn't seem like it's working out. The point is that people use the word miracles a lot, but they seem to believe less and less and less in miracles. Today's message is the first in our series called Miraculous. It's called Miracles Happen. The gist of the message, the main point of the message is this: if you can believe in God, you can believe in miracles. If you can believe in God, you can believe in miracles. The real question is not, do you believe in miracles? The real question is, what kind of a God do you believe in? You have your Bibles with you. Turn to Luke chapter 7, and let's all stand together for the reading of God's word. When the men had come to him, come to who? Come to Jesus Christ. When the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? During Jesus' earthly ministry, people had doubts about who he was. He was doing miracles, he was preaching the gospel, and even John the Baptist, the herald, the messenger before the one to come, was having doubts. Are you sure you're the one? Listen to what Jesus did. At that very hour, he cured many of infirmities. Infirmities is sicknesses. Afflictions, meaning pain and suffering, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. You see, Jesus was making a statement to John. John, you should be spiritually alive. You should see what others can't see. So guess what? Even the physically blind are seeing. Are you spiritually blind? And then listen to verse 22. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Let me ask you that question again. Do you believe that miracles happen? And we're not talking about just water into wine, or deaf being able to hear, or blind being able to see. The true miracle is a changed life through the death to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Has that happened in your life? The greatest miracle is to be born again. You can't replicate that. As we walk through this message, you're going to hear a message kind of different than what I typically preach. But ask yourself that question. Don't ask God, do a miracle, get me a Ferrari. God, do a miracle, you know, do this and give me $1 million. That's cheap. Ask yourself this question: has the greatest miracle happened in my life, which is that I have been born again? When I was in college, on the first day of philosophy class, my professor walked in and he wrote three words on the board. Three simple words: ideas have consequences. I didn't know at the time, but those words were the title of a 1948 book by Richard Weaver, who was an American intellectual, a scholar. Ideas have consequences. I sort of understood at the time what he meant, but through the years, I have come to realize how important is that statement. Ideas do have consequences. They do shape how people believe, and they do shape how people behave. Ideas do have consequences. Now, don't misunderstand. When I use the word ideas, I'm not using it like, man, I have an idea. You know, light bulb. When I'm using the word idea, I'm using it as what scholars use it. It is a formulated idea or a thought or an opinion on various subjects. Ideas about life. Ideas about creation, morality, what is right from wrong. What is your principle? Ideas about values. Ideas are critical. Ideas have consequences, especially when it comes to young people. You know, many of us, we get stuck in our ways. With more time, we don't change. Whatever we used to believe 20, 30 years ago, we get set in our ways. But young people, they are easily molded and shaped by the ideas around them. You know, in my ministry as a pastor, parents and grandparents have come to me many times. And they usually begin by asking me, do you have a book that I can give to my son, to my daughter, to my nephew, to my niece, grandson? Because they came back to call from college and they told me that they don't believe in God anymore. They come back and they are very condescending and they make fun of miracles in the Bible about Jesus walking on the water and Moses parting the Red Sea and all that kind of stuff. It's just myths and fables and fiction. It is grandma's faith. It's good for barbarians and ignorant people. But sophisticated, scientific, educated people do not believe in miracles because they have ideas. And I don't usually tell the people this. I don't want to hurt their feelings anymore, but they will often tell me this. But we raised them in church. We don't understand. How can they be like this? We raised them to believe like we do. And I want to tell them this. Just because you raised them in church does not mean that you gave them the skills and the tools and the weapons to battle ideas. You gave them faith, but you did not give them the tools to stand firm in their faith. The first couple of messages in this series, I don't want to dive in and start talking about how Jesus raised the dead to life and how Jesus turned water into wine and what's the purpose and what's the meaning. We're going to get to that. But the first couple of messages, I want to answer the question, do miracles happen? I'm going to make a statement here which may shock some of you, but I think if you stop and contemplate, you would agree with me. The biggest doubters are not out there, they're in church. Either some trial has happened in their life, or either some loss has come into their life, and they prayed for a miracle, miracle didn't come, and now they may not say it, but they have stopped believing. Oh, they come to church. They even give, they even serve, they just don't believe. I'm praying today's message and the message coming up next week will open your heart that you may ask that question, do miracles happen, and be able to say with confidence, yes, I know why miracles happen. Throughout history, people have opposed anything miraculous. Not all people, but many people. And the opposition has come from three different angles of ideas. The first angle is philosophy. The second angle is theology. The third angle is science. These three angles have sent ideas that discredit miracles, that tell us that miracles don't happen. educated, wise, modern people do not believe in miracles. And they're coming from three angles. Let's look at them one at a time. The first one is philosophy, ideas from philosophy. I have chosen one representative of each of these angles. For philosophy, I've chosen a man by the name of David Hume. David Hume was a Scottish skeptic. He was a philosopher. He was a historian. He came out of the Enlightenment period where people began to question everything. They began to question the meaning of life, the reason for life. Does the Bible truly, is it truly the Word of God? Do miracles really happen? This is the 17th and 18th century. He pushed reason to the limits just to prove that reason has limits. He made argument upon argument just to prove that arguments don't prove anything. He was a charming fellow. And if you were ever to sit down with him for a cup of tea and talk to him about life and theology and God and miracles, you would enjoy the conversation. By the end of the conversation, you'll walk away going, I used to believe, but come to think of it, I really don't have any solid reasons to believe. When it came to miracles, this was his argument. I want you to pay attention. Miracle goes against the laws of nature. Laws of nature have been established by experiences that do not change. A wise person bases his or her belief on evidence. Therefore, miracles don't happen. Illustration. Jesus walking on water. David Hume would say, when was the last time you saw someone walking on water? Have you walked on water? No. Okay, you haven't seen anybody walk on water. You can't walk on water. What if right now we had a test? Could you get out of the boat and walk on water? What would happen to you? Well, based on everything we know, we're going to sink. Okay. Miracles don't happen. If you are a wise person, now who wants to look like a fool? You say, I am a wise person. Then your belief should be based on evidence. That's what David Hume would say. Now, some of you argumentative types, you know what I'm talking about. You love to argue. You love to be the devil's advocate. Anybody ever done that? He would be a great devil's advocate. He would just argue and argue, and you finally back yourself against the wall, and you say, I don't know what I believe. And listen, when the young people come home and they tell you, it's a good book. Jesus was a good man. These are the kind of arguments they're coming from. We'll answer that in just a few moments. So the first angle is the angle of philosophy, the ideas from philosophy. The second, ideas from theology. What is theology? The study of God. The study of spiritual things. The representative that I've chosen was a German New Testament scholar, theologian by the name of Rudolf Bultmann. Maybe some of you may have heard that name before. Many of you do not know, his father was a Lutheran pastor, and his grandfather was a missionary. He was influenced by what we know as existential philosophy. Under this way of thinking, Bultmann considered the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the future resurrection to come, the blood atonement for our sins, eternal life, and name all the miracles, especially the miracles of Jesus, as nothing but misleading. What he would tell you is, yeah, the water into wine, I know what the Bible is saying, but I don't think you understand what really happened there, what is really being communicated. Do you believe in miracles? Bultmann would say, come on. We live in an era of electricity and power and generators. We don't believe in miracles. Something else he did, he was influenced by another scholar by the name of Johannes Weiss, who belonged to the history of religion school. Now, why am I giving you all this information? Because sometimes some of y'all watch television program and you hear a scholar or you see a scholar and you see a degree or you see a famed reputable university, and we immediately think they must be right. So I want to give you some information that would help you rethink. According to this history of religion school, Bultmann looked at non-Christian and rabbinic stories as sources of the miracles, especially of Jesus. He used what is known as form criticism. He did what is known as demythologizing the Bible. He said the Bible is full of mythologies, myths and mythologies. They have to be broken down. You have to get to the source. And once you get to the source, you really see that they're not really miracles at all, but they have a purpose to bring you closer to God. If you were to ask Bultmann, are you trying to destroy people's faith? He would say, absolutely not. I'm just trying to get them to grow in the real faith. Unfortunately, he did destroy the faith of a lot of people. For example, water into wine. What Bultmann would say is this: there is no miracle there. What is really happening is that the early church, the early Christians, have taken a Dionysian cult story, a legend of the time, and have applied it to Jesus. Something about water into wine proves that Jesus is the great revealer. So it's not about the miracle, nothing changed. The real purpose is to get you to see that Jesus reveals God to us. Get to the source, is what he would say to us. Get to the heart. But in the process, he took away the credibility of miracles. Now, what do you say to someone like him? We're going to see in the days ahead in the series why that doesn't stand. But let me say it very quickly like this. I'll give you an illustration. Sometimes illustrations get to the point faster. If I were to take this watch apart, I did that as a little boy. If I were to lay all those parts down, the glass, I know where this glass came from. Just like that stained glass window. I bet it came from the stained glass window. The motors inside, the wheels, they remind me of my little boy's Tonka trucks. I bet those wheels came from that Tonka truck. I mean, they look just alike. They're round. They have little notches and grooves. They seem to be from there. And the minute and the hour hand, I know they look just like my windshield wipers. I mean, they look just like it. I bet they came from there. Stained glass windows, Tonka trucks, and windshield wipers are the source of my watch. How many of y'all would agree with me? There is some similarity, but that's not where it's come from. And yet, an entire theological system has been built on this. And after Bultmann's death, many scholars came around and they said, that is really stretching. But guess what? His shadow is still falling upon the church and the academy. People don't believe in miracles because of these arguments. The third angle from which ideas have come against miracles is science. No scientific man would ever believe in miracles, is what they say. And it was hard for me to pick one person, but if I had to pick one, it would be this man, Dr. Steven Weinberg, who was a theoretical and still is a theoretical physicist, winner of the Nobel Prize, I believe, at the University of Texas is where he was teaching. And back in 1999, at the Conference on Cosmic Design of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, he gave a talk, "Do Miracles Happen?" And listen to what he said. Now listen carefully, he gets a little wordy. But he says, "It used to be obvious that the world was designed by some sort of intelligence. What else could account for fire and rain and lightning and earthquake? Above all, the wonderful abilities of living things seem to point to a creator who had a special interest in life." What he's saying is this: years ago when we were primitive, when we didn't have the understanding, and when we saw the sun rising, we thought, man, look at that, the sun is rising. But now we know better, it's nothing but a big ball of gas. And the sun is not rising. The earth is revolving around the sun. So there's nothing about God there. He made such arguments. What he's saying is, primitive man believed in God and miracles, but we're not primitive anymore. We don't have to believe in miracles. Then listen to what else he said. Today we understand most of these things in terms of physical forces acting under impersonal laws. Why do we have rain? God is not sending water to water the grass and the fields and the flowers and the trees. No, it's just moisture that is locked up there. Under the right circumstances, it breaks and it comes down. He says, we don't yet know the most fundamental laws, and we can work out all the consequences of the laws we do know. He says, for example, the human mind remains extraordinarily difficult to understand, but so is the weather. He said, how can you understand a mind? How exactly do you think, and why do you think the way you think? He said, well, that matter, you can't understand why the weather works the way it does. But what he's saying is this, with enough time, with enough understanding, we'll figure that out too. About miracles, listen to what he says. There do not seem to be any exceptions to this natural order, any miracles. The evidence for all these miracles seems to me, he says, to be considerably weaker than the evidence for cold fusion. He said, I don't believe in cold fusion. What he's really saying is there is no evidence for miracles. Miracles don't happen. Above all, today we understand that even human beings are the result of natural selection acting over millions of years of breeding and eating. He's talking about the E word. How many of y'all know what the E word is? Evolution. How did this all come about? Evolution. You see, science can tell us the what, but it cannot tell us the why. Folks, science cannot disprove miracles no more than I can disprove you. In this series, I'm just laying out the foundation in these first couple of messages, because if you don't believe in miracles, I can talk all day long about water into wine and eyes of the blind and deaf can hear and lame can walk, but you can still walk away going, well, that was a great message, preacher, and you still don't believe. The purpose in these two messages is to lay out certain foundational principles that will help you realize why miracles happen. So I am operating on these eight principles. Principle number one is that I believe that God exists. That is my starting point. God exists. Now I know some people say, well, no, it all happened through natural selection. It's all the random process of evolution. I disbelieve that. I believe there's so much intelligent design that points to an intelligent designer. You agree with that? And I believe that designer is God. Second thing that I will emphasize is that there is only one God. Sometimes what people do is, and what Hume did, is that he said, every religion has its miracles. What makes the miracles of Christianity different? Hume was a smart man, but I disagree with him. Because every miracle of other religions are not the same as the miracles found in the Bible. He said, how do you know? I've studied them. There is no comparison. There is only one God, and the miracles are coming through his book. Number three, God created the world and continues to rule over it, which means this, in number four, since this is God's world, the natural law is his law, and he can do miracles if he chooses. People talk about the natural laws. They are God's laws. This is not Mother Earth. This is God's creation. What these philosophers and certain theologians and scientists have done is they have taken what belongs to God, and they have tried to copy God to disprove God. I know about many subjects, but the one subject that I'm very incapable in is construction. But what if day after day I'm watching these guys work? I see how they poured the concrete. I see how they laid out the timber. I see how they are going to put the frame up. And I'm watching all that's happening. I'm learning a little bits and pieces here and there. Every day before I leave for home, I take one item from this workplace. One day I take a hammer with me. Another day I take a box of nails. Then I take some 2x4s with me. I see a mesh around and I cut a piece of that mesh and I take it home and I build me a chicken coop. And I build it. I've seen them work and I got the materials and I build it. But unfortunately, no self-respecting chicken would ever stay in a chicken coop like that. But just imagine for a moment, I build that, then I invite you over to the house and I say, look, you see this? You see how amazing it is? Anybody can do what these construction workers can do. What would you say to me on that? He's like, you need to throw that away. There is no comparison with this beautiful edifice. There is no comparison to the Empire State Building. There is no comparison to the Parthenon. That's exactly what these philosophers, theologians, and scientists have done. They have taken God's materials, God's wisdom, God's knowledge, God's natural laws, and they have tried to recreate their own system of beliefs to discredit God. Years ago, I heard a story from a pastor. He said one time, God and this man were having an argument. And this man said, God, I can do everything that you can do. You ever heard that before? God, I can do everything. You can create the earth. You can make life. I can make life. God said, okay. By the way, this is just a myth. So don't go out there saying this really happened. He said, okay, let's do it right now. He said, all right, I'm ready. God said, go. He reached down to pick up a cloud of dirt. God said, whoa, get your own dirt. Folks, we can't do anything without what God has already supplied. And yet human beings are trying to say God doesn't exist or he is not powerful enough to interfere in his own creation. Number 5, God does miracles when he wants to further his purposes. Number 6, Jesus, the Son of God, did miracles and they are truthfully recorded in the gospel. This is where comparison with other religions and their miracles comes in. There's a big difference. Number 7, God may do miracles in response to the prayers of people. We will learn that as well. And number 8, we're called to believe in miracles, but trust in Jesus. Believe in miracles. Believe that God did what he said he did in times past, and he still does. But don't rely on miracles alone. Trust in Jesus, because sometimes God may not answer your prayers, but he is still God. This morning, do you believe in miracles? Or have you stopped believing? Have you experienced the greatest miracle of all? A changed life through Jesus Christ. You know, we sang that song just a few minutes ago. John led us. I believe in miracles. He's talking about the greatest miracle is life flowing through us, sins forgiven, our hearts transformed, our destiny secure, our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those miracles are greater than feeding the 5,000 and healing the sick and raising the dead to life, because they will die again. But you can't die. Has that miracle happened in your life?
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Throughout history, people have tried to disprove the existence of God. But as believers, we can have confidence that not only does God exist, but he can and does work miracles in our world today. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this week's sermon notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.